For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my guest Robin Davis. Robin is the mother of five. The oldest is almost 16?
15 and a half.
15 and a half. And the youngest?
3 and a half.
3 and a half. And she is homeschooling those children. And even if you're not a parent, even if you're not thinking about homeschooling or interested in homeschooling, you'd be amazed at how many other interesting things you may learn from Robin Davis. She was one of my more brilliant students many years ago when she was a student here at Gordon-Conwell Seminary. And we were talking about socialization yesterday. Robin, one of the most important questions that people ask homeschoolers, but what about socialization? Do you have anything further you want to say on that subject?
Well, people often criticize us that we are sheltering our children by not allowing them to go to school and take part in the mix and the rub and the, you know, all the sorts of activities that go on, and that somehow they benefit from being, from going through this, some of the teasing and that sort of thing. But as I think about my day and my life as an adult, I don't have to hang around with people who really aren't my friends, or who don't talk to me nicely, or who are maybe using bad language or whatever. So I don't see why we have to subject our children to that and say that that really helps them. People often say that we're sheltering them, and I would have to say, well, yes, that's true. I think we shelter and protect things that we really care about. If you had a fine painting, for example, you wouldn't hang it up outside. Or think about animals. Animals shelter and protect their young until they're really grown, until they're really quite able to manage on their own. So why is it that we human beings shouldn't be doing the same for our children? So I am unapologetically trying to shelter my children. I think that in our culture, there's a great many things we need to shelter our children from.
Very good. Thanks for that. Next question. But aren't Christians supposed to be salt and light in the world?
Okay, now in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world." And people often, and I respect godly Christian parents who have their children in public schools and talk to their children at home and really work through the issues, and their children really are, you know, trying to be witnesses for the Lord. But I think we have to look at who is Jesus speaking to then. He was speaking to disciples. He wasn't speaking to young children. And Jesus cares very much for children. But I don't think he means for them to be doing our work as disciples. Now, when our children are ready to go out into the world and be disciples, then they would be salt and light.
Seems to me a very heavy burden to lay on a child to say, you know, I want you to go to school to be salt and light. You know, you got to carry a big Bible around on top of your school books and or whatever. Maybe that's an extreme case, but it is a heavy burden to put on a child, and I appreciate your answer on that one, Robin. Now, I have been asked myself how I managed the dual role of mother and father when my husband died, when Valerie was only 10 months old. My answer to that is it never crossed my mind that I was supposed to play a dual role. I was her mother, and God had taken her father, so my job was just to be the best mother that I could and to count on God's promises for fatherless children, of which there are many, many promises and, of course, many fatherless children. But you have a dual role, more than a dual role. You are a wife, you're a mother, and you are the teacher of your children. So mother and teacher, how can you manage that?
I think what people are getting at when they wonder about the mother-teacher role is the authority sort of th- thing that the teacher gives assignments and the children have deadlines and they have to turn in papers on certain days, and the students obey the teacher and they respect the teacher. Now, sometimes I think the problem is that there isn't that sort of respect and obedience in the home from the children to the mother and to the father. And so that if that control issue isn't settled, then there are going to be problems with the mother-teacher role. More important than teaching a child, say, math or history facts, is really that basic respect and obedience. And it starts out to the parents, but it's really foundational for all of life, for all other authorities, for an employer, the police, the government, you know, the IRS, and ultimately to God. And so that if we can teach our children a respectful attitude, that this will carry them just so far in life. So this is one of our goals for our children.
It is certainly fundamental, and I certainly believe that it was much easier for me to learn to respect the authority of God's word and to submit in obedience to God because I had been reared in a home where I had to respect the authority of my parents' word and I had to do what they said. How much more difficult it must be for an adult Christian who hasn't come from that kind of a background to trust the word of God and to learn to submit in obedience.
Hmm. I feel for people who are struggling in this area, and just yesterday I was talking to a woman who did try homeschooling for a year and then stopped, and she was very helpful in talking with me. Her basic problem was that she couldn't control her children. She was going through a separation, and for some reason she had chosen that particular year to homeschool. She said it was such a fight to get them to cooperate with me in any area at all. It was a great struggle to try and get the kids to do their schoolwork consistently or to do anything consistently, for example, even making the bed. When I didn't do it, bed making wasn't a habit for me, and so it was too much to try and get the kids to do that. So in terms of who can't homeschool, I mean, this was really a very hard thing for her. She says if you have a problem getting your kids to respect and obey you, that needs to be worked out first. And I would tend to agree. But again, I don't want the listeners to feel that we are a perfect family and that my children never disobey or that I never throw my coat on the chair rather than hanging it up in the closet. I think that these are areas where God is working on my own character and that God uses weak vessels and that He is working to transform my character, and the children can see how I am growing under the Lord's hand along with them, so that I am not just teaching from my strength, but also from my weaknesses.
We have His promise, too, that power comes to its full strength in weakness. But I've heard people say, well, I think it's wonderful that your daughter can homeschool, and I'm sure people have said that to you, Robin. It's marvelous that you can. I could never do it because I don't have the patience.
Well, I say great. I'm not patient either. You know, or I'm not, people say I'm not smart enough. Well, I don't feel smart enough either, or whatever you're, I'm not. You know, I would say that too, like I'm not organized enough. I am not, I'm married to an organized person, but I'm not naturally organized. I'm more spontaneous. But these are areas for growth, and that we can bring the glory to God as He brings about these changes in our life. I think we have to have that basic willingness to grow in patience and to relate patiently to my children and to see God bear that fruit in our lives. We have to have the willingness to learn to be more organized and to have an orderly home. We have to have that basic desire in our hearts. But I think when it comes to fruit bearing, and these are, I believe, really fruit of the Holy Spirit, that there's that maturing process. The fruit doesn't come overnight, but it's this gradual maturing process that goes on. So I think it's false to say, well, certain people can't do it because they're not patient enough, because I don't naturally
patience
have those qualities.
Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it?
It certainly
and
is.
None of us has enough of it. Has anybody ever said to you, Robin, well, you're sure lucky to have such good kids?
people often will compare, and they will say, well, my kids are more high-spirited, or my kids are more strong-willed. I think there are individual differences, but I think partly it's the training, partly it's the individual differences.
Your kids, I would certainly not have guessed that your kids were sitting at the table because they couldn't think of anything else to do. I mean, as I mentioned the other day, your children sat politely at the table. Maybe they only do this when they're guests, but nobody left the table without saying, may I please be excused. I would not get the impression that the reason that they sat quietly was because they are phlegmatic personalities. Are your children phlegmatic personalities?
No. They're very active and lively. And as you know, Nathaniel loved that basketball hoop, and I'm sure he had his thoughts on that too. But it's the training. I mean, we have to have a goal of what we want dinner time to be like. Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And if you were to just drop into our home at any particular moment, you'd say, this is supposed to be a school? You know, what is going on here? But somehow it works, and we're always working toward that goal of, you know, order and peace and godliness, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the goal.
If you have a high-spirited horse, you still can bring that horse under the control of the reins with training. And some of our listeners may be offended if we compare children to animals, but the basic principles are there. I took a dog through obedience school, and we were told you speak in a normal tone of voice, and you look him straight in the eye, and you speak his name, and you give him one command. And I think that works for children, too. Well, thank you. My guest today has been Robin Davis, and we're going to have her again talking on the subject of homeschooling.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.